called, the series is called Thrive, and it's spirit-infused power for everyday life. How many of you know that you need every, how many of you know that you need that? So if you're inclined, you could fill out the blanks. I'm a lefty, so the thing is, I'm not going to say, okay, look at your notes, but I may go like this, meaning, okay, if you want to write it down, so I'm not going to, and it's been a few years, so I want to make this as smooth as possible without being clumsy, so if I'm looking at you, I don't want to have to say, okay, write it down. So if I go like this, you'll know what I mean. So, and so this morning's message is our helper. And so who is the Holy Spirit? Like, who is the Holy Spirit? And you know what? That's a big question, one almost as big as God himself. And when you get to know someone for the very first time, often the first steps that take place is that you're introduced to someone by someone who knows that person, correct? So this morning what I want to do is, as we are introduced to Holy Spirit, I want to meet someone first who knew Holy Spirit better than any other person, and that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew Holy Spirit. And during his years of ministry, Jesus knew the Holy Spirit better than anybody else. Amen? So I think that to get a good foundation on who Holy Spirit is, we really have to look at Jesus, and that's why I asked you to just open your Bibles to John chapter 14. I'm not going to read chapter 14, 15, and 16, but if you have it open, you can kind of just glance down and you can kind of follow through. But it's probably Jesus and his words that are used to about the Holy Spirit as recorded in John 14 are very, very useful for us this morning. It's helpful to know that chapters 14 and 16 of John's Gospel contains a record of the conversation with the disciples at the Last Supper, at the Last Supper. And so he knows that in just a few hours and maybe 12 hours that he was going to be put to death on the cross. So what happens is he's going to capture this moment with the disciples to tell them something that's incredible, most important, that they need to know beyond everything, and we need to know it ourselves today. And you may say, well, I've heard this all my life. If you have heard it and you're not walking in it, then you heard nothing. So what we need to do is we need to walk in it. So in this serious moment, Jesus gives them these vital instructions. How many of you know that in your life there's times if you had been given some vital instructions, you would have made better choices before? And so what happens is he's giving them vital instructions in the scripture so that they will make wise decisions moving forward. And if you've been inclined not to make wise decisions in your life, then you really need to listen to what Jesus is saying to the disciples so that we could apply what they applied to their life so that we could make a difference in the community around us. Amen? Amen. So in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus gets to the core of what he wants them to understand. And he says this to them. He says, "And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper that may abide with you forever." So Jesus is simply saying here, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. This is what he's doing. He's asking the Father. And the role and the nature of this person is to help. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. It's to help. How many of you know that? It's to help you. It's to help. It's to help. How many of you need help? I need help. I need help right now. I need help right now. I am talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'm just this guy. I need help. Because he is awesome, and he is everything, amen? And the role is to help. And Jesus assures them that this helper will not be a stranger. You know him, he says. He says, you know him. So Jesus explains by saying, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So he dwells with them, but he's saying that he will be in you. Oh my goodness. Holy Spirit dwells within this preacher. And he dwells within each of you. Amen. And we're all called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The disciples had experienced the helper dwelling with them to a certain extent. Only to a certain extent. But the helper was about to be sent in a way that would not only make him with them, but in them. If you're writing, that meant... We record this, so I want it to be like, they can't pick that part up. So, and although Jesus spoke these words to a small group of his closest friends and followers, they're also meant for us. Amen? They're meant for us. Can you say that with me? Meant for us. Better than that, say meant for me. Meant for me. They're meant for us. How the Holy Spirit helps. What kind of help will the Holy Spirit provide? Well, Jesus, he gives part of the answer in verses 25 and 26 of 14, and he lists two of the ways that this person will be of help. First, he will teach all things. He will teach all things. What an incredible promise. He will teach all things. What an incredible promise. Amen? Can you say amen? There is no subject in which God is not an expert. Okay, we argue with him, we fight with him, and everything like this. I'm just telling you right now, there's no subject in which God isn't an expert. Oh, you're good, buddy. Thank you. Thank you. He has all the answers. The second way the Holy Spirit helps us in bringing to your remembrance all the things that Jesus had said. That's what he's telling the disciples. That all the things that I have said to you, Holy Spirit will bring that to your remembrance. And it's also with us as well. The one reason the Gospels are so detailed and in such agreement about the words of Jesus is because the Holy Spirit helped the disciples remember everything that Jesus said to them. So every week, oh, we must drive you crazy, Linda and I, we say, read the red. Please, just read the red. Read the red. The words of Jesus, please read the red. Why? Because Holy Spirit promised the disciples that he would bring back to their memory everything that Jesus ever taught, and that's the same thing that the Holy Spirit is going to help us do. And those are the foundational words that are not going to let you crash and burn, that are going to give you victory within your life, that are going to help you in your life. Read the red. Amen. Say it with me. Read the red. Read the red. I know I'm going to drive you crazy, but you have to read the red so that when Holy Spirit speaks to you, you will know it's Holy Spirit and that it's not just you or how you feel. Oh, I think I feel this way right now. If there's a strong sense coming into your spirit, and it's words of the red that are coming to surface, you know it's Holy Spirit talking to you. Amen? Amen? So this is one of the reasons why these Gospels are so detailed. Jesus must leave. A little later in the conversation with the disciples, Jesus gives the third mention of the coming Holy Spirit being sent from the Father. In 15:26, he says this. He says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Notice that Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. Jesus presents the Holy Spirit to us as the ultimate answer to overcoming and undoing the work of Satan, the great deceiver, the father of lies. The father of lies, Satan, he's the deceiver. And so then Jesus, who declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life, announced that he would soon be bringing a helper that would make it possible for people to live free from deception. Free from deception. How many of you have lived, even in some of your Christian life, you've lived in deception? Okay? The Holy Spirit comes to free us from living in deception. Amen? So that we will be free. We will be free. Say that with me. I want to be free. I want to be free from deception. And deception comes in the same ways. It's the same tricks he uses all the time. It's either power, lust, money. Okay? And it's always that. It's always the same trick. It's always those tricks. It's the same thing. Over and over again, we get hooked in. We get hooked in. Power, money, lust, all of these things. Ooh, look at me, big man. Ooh, slick boy. I'm telling you, I could do it all. And it's just deception. It's just deception. And when it just falls apart, families are decimated and churches are decimated and communities are. And so we need to hear the voice of the Lord so that we do not walk in deception. Amen. In John 16 and 7, Jesus gives the disciples the most incredible introduction to the Holy Spirit. He says, "So wonderful is this one whom I send," Jesus tells them, "that it is much better thing that if I go away. Because if I don't go, he can't come." We sing, how many songs have we sung? Jesus, what a beautiful name. Jesus is everything to us. We celebrate Jesus. We have a cross in the church. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus is our everything. Jesus, Jesus, it should be the first words that come to our breath when we wake up in the morning. Good morning, Jesus. And Jesus is telling them that he has to go away because a helper is going to come. So we have to trust in this Jesus, amen? "I still have so many things to tell you," he says, "but I cannot bear to tell you them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you that the things that are to come." Did you hear what he said? The things that are to come. We are always wishy-washy. We're hoping that something will come. But in a relationship with Holy Spirit, he will tell you. "And he will glorify me," Jesus says. "And he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you." The words of the red, what Jesus has spoken, he will take them and he will declare them to you, John. Oh my goodness, I love this. Oh my goodness, when my eyes were open to his glory, there was no turning back. How did I not know this? How did I not know this? It got so deep in my spirit. And I want everyone to get it so deep within their spirit. Holy Spirit talks to us today. These verses contain an amazing promise, folks. Jesus wants to tell them the whole amazing story of what lies ahead. It's good news for them. And who better to do it than the Spirit of truth? Amen? Amen? How many of you have you hear stories? You know, your ear gets a little bit bent. You hear a little bit of a story and it's all good. And you want this information and everything. But it's not from a spirit of truth. It might be from a spirit of gossip. And it may be from a spirit of anger and all sorts of things, but spirit of truth. So I need to zone in on this truth because this is going to keep me from being deceived. Amen? Have you ever been blindsided by some event and thought to yourself, if I had only known it was coming, I would have been better prepared? Any of you ever been blindsided? You know what I mean? You're just blindsided. You know, it could be anything. It could be like, you know, like this couple here, they're pretty amazing. They've been sitting there since they got married and, you know, and stuff. And so you've practiced hospitality. You've been so honoring to Linda and I and to everybody who knows you, you know, and stuff. And so if you functioned out of character, and I would be so blindsided by that. Have you ever been blindsided by anyone where you thought it was where you thought something was a certain thing and it didn't turn out to be that way at all? That is an awful thing. We all have. And then what happens is we may forgive because forgiveness is always something that's happened in the past, but it's hard to trust as we move forward because trust is always in the future. Amen? So the good news is that the Spirit of truth, and when he comes, Jesus says, he will guide you in all truth, all truth. And that's the benefit of friendship with the Holy Spirit. No wonder Jesus refers to him as the helper. That is a great benefit. Because for me, I'm going to tell you right now, okay, there's still a human side of Ken Jeffrey. And what happens is, like, this trust is a big thing for me. Trust is everything. If I could trust someone, that is huge. And if someone could trust me, that is huge. And if a trust is broken, man, I don't like the things that go through my mind and my heart and the way I respond to that, because trust is everything. Amen? Have any of you, a trust has ever been broken? Or have you ever broken a trust of someone? It is bad. It is bad. And so have you ever been blindsided? So the key role of the Holy Spirit is to lead us supernaturally into truth that reveals what lies ahead. Amen? Wow. And so Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a helper 4 times in 3 consecutive verses. Now, this is a little bit of teaching here, and it's really good, because you're going to tell someone this, and they're going to think that you're brilliant, that you know this, okay? But he refers to the Holy Spirit as helper 4 times in 3 consecutive verses. The promises in these passages are absolutely incredible. And each one of these 4 instances, the Greek word translated for helper is parakletos. Say that with me, parakletos, okay? And the Greek word only applies, it's only shows up 4-5 times in the entire New Testament, and what we've done is we've just seen 4 of them in just these verses. This is important stuff preparing these disciples. So the key passage, the key message about the Holy Spirit's role is very simple. He helps me. He helps me to know what to say when I'm speechless. When I'm speechless. How often are we speechless? Amen? Amen? He helps me to know when to speak and when to keep my mouth closed. You know what? How many of you know now that there's been times in your life when you should have applied a filter to your lips? Amen? Applied a filter to your lips. If I could take back some of the mean things that I have said, you know, over the years, and have a filter going forward so that I would never repeat that again, I would just do that. And I'm going to do it. I'm sure each of us can think of situations where both kinds of help would be welcome in our life. Amen? Amen? Amen. For example, you know, I may have a person that comes to my office, and it could be a pretty serious situation. Some people, they have serious situations that they have, and it's life is hard sometimes, and they'll come into my office, and I don't have a clue what to say. Like, you know what, I'm a generalist, I'm not a specialist, you know, I'm a GP, okay? So what happens is sometimes, but I have a specialist that I go to, and that's Holy Spirit, because he's the helper. So, you know, just like some of you, you know, teachers or doctors or whatever, or mechanics, you have a manual that you would go to look up what you need to look up. Well, you know what, Holy Spirit is that too. And so someone will come in and you know, I have no idea what to say or how to encourage, and then a thought suddenly comes to my mind, and I speak it out loud, and then the person says, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. And they said, oh, are you ever good? And I'm like, okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I need you, helper. I need to depend on you. I need to depend on you because, Lord, as I depend on you, it makes a difference in Richard's life. It makes a difference in other people's lives. Okay? So do we need the Holy Spirit as our helper? So that's what the Holy Spirit can do, giving you the very words to say. And sometimes he tells us what not to say. Amen? Speaks to us in such clear ways. And the simple answer is yes. The truth is that most of us don't have trouble believing that God speaks to us today. We just become frustrated because we don't know exactly what he's saying. So we know he speaks, we just get frustrated because we don't know what he's saying. And hearing God is vital to breaking out of the old comfort zones and into exciting new levels of effectiveness. I want to be more effective. I want to finish this race well. How many of you want to finish this race well and be effective and be effective. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. I want to be effective. I want to run the race. I want to be effective. I want to make a difference. Amen? And I can't do it on my own completely. I need the Holy Spirit to help me, and so do you. Each of you need that. Amen? The Holy Spirit is active and present and commissioned to interact with us on earth today and every single day. Amen? The main reason we sometimes aren't sure that we can really hear the voice of God is because we don't fully engage or embrace the member of the Trinity that has been commissioned to speak. Okay? So who speaks? Who did Jesus say would speak? Holy Spirit. So if we're not engaged with Holy Spirit and we don't have an understanding that He's the one that speaks, we're not going to hear from God. We're not going to hear from God. Amen? Other ways the Spirit helps, if you look in John 16, 18, or 8 to 11, in these four verses, it gives additional information about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit helps us. In fact, he mentions three more aspects of the Helper's ministry. He comes to convict the world of sin, right? And of righteousness and judgment. And I got to tell you something. Some of this stuff has been taken so far out of context. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a good context in which you could understand this today. Amen? Amen. So he helps. So conviction. What does it mean, the word convict? Okay? To our modern ears, it sometimes means that you're convicted of a criminal offense, or you're in court or whatever. However, Jesus is speaking about conviction in a sense of belief or persuasion. Simply put, to convict means to convince. So if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, what happens is he's trying to convince you of something. He's not trying to just show you how dirty, rotten sinner you are. And we think that it's like, oh, the presence of God is in the house, and he's going to discover that my heart is not pure and everything, and I'm going to have conviction, and I'm going to feel so terrible that I'm going to run to the altar. And we shouldn't feel that way. We should come to the altar because he's convicting us, because that's a good thing. Amen. Because he's trying to show us the glory of God. And why would we run away from that conviction? So if he's trying to convict us, we should say, oh, he's convicting me. Whoa! Thank you, Lord, for convicting me. It means I can hear your voice. Wow, it's not rocket science, folks. That's what it means. And the role of helping the Holy Spirit will convince the world of God's truth concerning sin, righteousness, judgment. He will persuade people that certain things are true. Amen? In verse 9, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, because they do not believe in me. We need to understand that when the Holy Spirit convicts lost people of sin, in other words, convinces them that sin is ruling their life, that's a good thing. That is a really, really good thing. Amen? We have to look at this. Why is our natural default so often negative? It's like, oh, oh, Lord, how could you ever love me? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like, thank you, Lord, you're convicting me. That is a good thing. That is a good thing. You want me to know the righteousness of God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Righteousness. The Holy Spirit also convicts us of righteousness. So what is righteousness? What does it mean? Contrary to common belief, righteousness doesn't mean right behavior. Sometimes we've put so much pressure on ourselves, and we put so much pressure on people in church that you need to live this righteous life. That's not what the Scripture is talking about here. That's not exactly. If we're righteous, we want to live a righteous life. But perhaps you've even heard someone had said, with high morals, they'd say, well, that person with high morals is such a righteous person. And of course, it's good to have moral standards, amen? But that's not righteousness. Instead, righteousness means having a right standing before God. And the Holy Spirit comes, he's our helper, so that he will convince you that you have a right standing before God. And you need to live in that. You need to understand that and not retreat from that. And don't beat yourself up with it. We have a right standing before God. And Holy Spirit, our helper, is constantly wanting to have a relationship to us, with us, to convince us of that, so that we have a right standing before God, so that we will make righteous decisions. And when people look at us, they'll say, yes, they are righteous, whether they understand what righteous is or they don't understand what it is. But we are righteous because we have a right relationship before a holy Father. Amen? That's good. This is good preaching here. Okay, if I say so myself, fair. Okay, I love it. When I was in Bible college, that was only 1.5 years after we got saved. And when I went into the class on the Holy Spirit, that was my favorite class of anything. Oh my goodness, it's like, what? What are you teaching me? So it was like, so I bypassed a lot of the junky stuff that we should filter out. And it was like, so Holy Spirit will teach me everything I need to know about Jesus Christ, about God, about everything. Yes. Okay, I want the Holy Spirit then. This verse doesn't say that the Holy Spirit will convict us of a need for righteous living. Rather, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of a righteousness because I go to the Father. And if you remember the last series that we just did in Hebrews, the reason we can have a right standing before God is because Jesus ascended to the Father and sits at the right hand of the Father as an eternal reminder that our sins have been paid for. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 8 to 14. Amen. You remember that message? And when Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict us of righteousness, he is referring to the fact that we need to be convinced that righteousness exists. That it's even possible that we have a right to stand before God. That's what he's doing. You know what? How often have you heard people say, I don't have a right to stand before God. You have no idea what I've done in my life. You know, God would never want me to be in his presence. You're making it about you because that's not what the Bible says. So let Holy Spirit convince you differently, that because of Jesus Christ, you have a righteous standing before God. Start from that place and move forward. And any other lie that you have believed to this point, send it away. Okay? Because the devil has been defeated. He is an outlaw now. And that way of thinking is outlaw thinking as well. Amen? So it's time to move forward. It's time to move forward. I am righteous before Father God. And so are you. Oh my goodness, that makes me happy. Doesn't it make you happy? Amen. The presence of God is powerful. So, you know what? This is going to be a great series. Because sometimes as Pentecostals, we say Pentecostal in the church, they think that we're weird. Because the only concept that even some people in the church have is, oh, they speak in tongues and they swing from those chandeliers. That is true. We do speak in tongues. And if I could swing from those chandeliers, I would. But that's just very, very small compared to having a relationship and understanding the person, the helper, the truth helper. Amen? And to go deeper into that so that, do you know that in the world today, Pentecostal charismatics, there's about 1 billion of us around the world. Okay? And you know what? You know what our goal is? Tell people about Jesus all over the world, okay? And you know what? In myself, I can't do that. I need Holy Spirit because just like the person in my office that would come in, I have no idea what to say, and all of a sudden I will say something and what will happen is they say, wow, that is so amazing. I've met people. Oh, man, I've met some pretty scary people. I met a guy in Peterborough once. He just got out of jail for murder, and I went up to him, and I lied. I said, I'm not afraid of you, you know. But I was. And then all of a sudden what happened was Linda and I, we started to just speak blessings into his life. And this huge man started to just weep. We were in a video store. Okay, at that time when you were a Pentecostal in Bible college, you weren't allowed to go to the video store. Okay, so the thing is, I'm glad I disobeyed, because what happened was we you know. So I'm just saying, we need Holy Spirit. That's who we are. That's who we are as a church. Okay, so to come here to this church where someone would come, where it's an attractional church, where you will pull out the bulletin and it's like, okay, I will take number 1, 3, 7, and 9. And what would you like on the menu? Would you like 3, 4, 5 and stuff? Yeah, we have those things. But we need His presence. Because you know what? Each of us, our life is to show Christ to a world around us. The next one is judgment. Finally, the Holy Spirit in 16 and 11 was sent to convince the world of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Amen? To understand this aspect, the Holy Spirit's activity, we need to know who God is referring to as the ruler of the world. Satan was the ruler of the world, but he has been judged 2,000 years ago. Say that with me, 2,000 years ago. And through Jesus' sacrifice and such subsequent victory on the cross and the grave, the Holy Spirit convicts us of this truth, convincing us that the former ruler of this world, Satan, has been judged and kicked out. Okay, I know people, they live as if like they give more credit to the devil than they give to Jesus Christ and to Holy Spirit. He's defeated. You're not to live a defeated life. Okay? If you sense that you're being attacked and everything like this, I know Christians, they want to talk about the devil more than they want to talk about anything. You don't know what the devil does to me. The devil does, Stop! Call out to Jesus. He has been defeated. We stand righteous before a holy Father. Okay? We need to walk in that. We need to walk in that. He has been judged and he's been kicked out. He no longer has authority in our lives. Amen? Say that. He does not have authority in my life. Can you say that with me? He does not have authority in my life. He does not have authority in my home. He does not have authority over my children. He does not have authority over my wife. He does not have authority over my husband. He does not have authority in this church. Anyone's allowed in this church, but he's not. Because we put on the armor of God, okay? We put on the armor of God in this house. You know what? I challenge you every day to go to those verses and before you leave the house to put on the armor of God, okay? That's not some Sunday school symbolic thing. We put on the armor. We didn't put on the armor of God this morning. Johnny, see what happens when the women are away? See how vulnerable we can become? One time, and we didn't put on the armor of God. Oh my goodness, we got to smarten up, don't we?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, we could, but I won't. Because it's on. The Holy Spirit convicts us, amen. So a proper understanding, and I'll just be a couple more seconds here. And so, have you enjoyed this?
Yes.
Yeah, I get excited. You know? And I remember once I preached when I was on internship in Bible college. And Linda and I are liked. You know what? We're liked. People like us. We like people. We're nice to people. So I was doing my internship, and I was preaching on a Sunday night at a church, and all the Bible college students came. They all came. They were all at the front, and I had an altar call. And so they all came. Like first time you're preaching, it's like pretty exciting. You know, you're a preacher, and like the altars are full of people, and they're just, it's like, ooh, I like this. So then we have a staff meeting that week, and someone said to me, they said, well, you know, the altar call was about 10 minutes, and, you know, in this church, that's about long enough. Okay, I'll honor that house, but I can't be contained that way, okay? We can't contain God this way. Okay, like how dare us? Okay, so this service here, it's 11:58. In our bulletin, it says service starts at 10:30. We finish around noon. So in that place, it would have been someone looking at their watch and saying, okay, it's 11:58. He said that he was going to close 4 minutes ago. How is he going to do this in 2 minutes? Lord, forgive us. Lord, just forgive us, please, about making everything about us. Yes, we have to honor him, and yes, we have to do all the right things. But boy, do you ever listen to yourself sometimes? Do you ever listen to yourself, the grumbling that you do? Do you ever grumble? Come on, tell me the truth. Do you ever grumble? Aye. How many of you grumble sometimes? So we need to have a proper understanding. And it can be easy to misunderstand the Holy Spirit's role. We've just looked at how the Holy Spirit comes to convince us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, having a proper teaching on that. The Holy Spirit was sent to make us aware that we're lost and we're in need of Jesus, and to lead us to him, then persuade us that we live in a right standing before God through him, and finally to fill us with the conviction that Satan is a defeated enemy who no longer has authority on us. I could have just said that right at the beginning, but I just concluded, and that's exactly what we just talked about right there. Okay? So your marching orders are to take this to your prayer closet. And when you open yourself up to this ministry of Holy Spirit, you'll find that he helps you in every area of your Christian life. Amen? 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 Now that makes sense, because the Holy Spirit is our helper. Amen? But that's not all he is. He is also our friend. Okay? And that's where we will explore next week. That he is not only our helper, but that he is our friend. Amen? Did you enjoy this today? Yes. Good, good. So how many of you have been Christians for a long time? And how many of you would say that you really needed to hear this morning again? Amen? Amen? So let's stand together this morning. And worship team, would you come, please? Oh, no, they're not here today. And that's okay. Has it been okay? Okay.